Hello, everyone. Welcome to Our Lives with Shannon Fishers. I'm very excited about the guest that I have with you tonight, a superstar in the basketball entertainment world, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but we're also going to talk about a foundation that he and his wife have started that are really helping to improve the lives of kids and teach them how to reach their dreams. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Lefty Williams. Lefty, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you here tonight. Very excited to find out about your organization and about how all of this came to be. You got your name Lefty from being the first left-handed showman with the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters. Tell me how you landed there. How did you get to the point where you were in entertainment basketball?
Well, first, thank you for the opportunity for having me on. I really appreciate it. My wife sends her love. I got started playing basketball at an early age. Obviously, all of the accolades come, you know, climbing the ranks, becoming a 1,000-point scorer in high school, doing great in college, defensive player of the year, two out of my 4 years in college. I got a chance to play in Japan, play in Germany, play with another entertainment basketball team, the Ambassadors. And then when I played in the NBA Summer League, I was spotted by one of the, I didn't know it then until after the interaction, but I got spotted by a Globetrotter coach, Henry Clark. I was fooling around with the ball. He said, "Who was doing that?" And he obviously watched some of my games, and he gave me one of his cards and thought it was pretty cool. It didn't work out for me to play inside the league I'm mentioning of the NBA. And then I come down to a camp down in Houston. They end up signing me, a guy who built up within the organization over 60 plus years, who Charles Tex Harrison, who passed over a year ago, a little over a year ago. And then he began to mentor me. They signed me around the time when Walt Disney had bought the team, or the Shamrock Group, which is Disney. And they named me Lefty. They had never signed the left-handed showman. Everything that they do with showman is to the right. And I was able to change that. And I was really, really, really excited to be a part of that amazing ride. You know, 25 countries, all 50 states, 8 provinces of Canada later, the world was able to know me as Lefty.
That is amazing. That is what a wonderful ride. And so now you've actually started your own basketball entertainment team, the Harlem Dream. What gave you the inspiration to do that?
Like anything, if you're within an organization long enough, you can see the great things. You can see things that need to be corrected or changed or enhanced. Something that someone's missing out upon, maybe. So when I retired, I began to do a lot of my charitable stuff to kind of help out, you know, a lot of people who really needed it. So we put together a charity game. I called it Unity in Community, Unity in the Community game, where I brought in a lot of my celebrity friends, you know, Major League Baseball, NBA, hip-hop artists or R&B artists, should I say, actresses, brought them together. And my agent came to see that game, and he was like, "Man, you did all of this?" It was a show-style kind of celebrity game where some of my old entertainment buddies also played with me, and I was able to give them a little mock show, you know, a little taste of what the crowd was used to seeing.
And,
yeah, we raised a lot of funds for the community, but then my agent said, "Man, you know, you really need to do this." Like, I'm like, "What do you mean?" "No, you really need to you know, this is what you should be doing." And I said, "Well, I have been trying to get you to, you know, be my business partner and do this, you know, 7 years ago.
Right.
And then he said, well, we need to talk about it. I thought he was joking. I laughed it off. He called me. We talked. Supposed to have only been 5 minutes. He said, "Just hear me out." And the 5-minute phone call turned into 3 hours. And next thing you know, the Harlem Dreams was born. And it was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting. And so how did you teach yourself these tricks that got you into this industry to begin with? I mean, was it I mean, obviously there's some innate talent there. Did you have a teacher, or was it just a matter of practice? Where did you learn this talent?
Just perseverance. I picked up the basketball at the age of 9. I'd be outside on a milk crate, working on my game. You know, I'd be out there in church shoes, you know, in shorts, but I had a vision. You know, I had a vision.
Right.
In the city of Jersey City to try to be successful. But then when I was working my way up the ladder, I'd just be in the hotel room working with the basketball, trying to get better, better, better every day, because everybody wants to be in what everyone knows as the magic circle. And so I wanted to be in that magic circle. You know, I wanted to do great tricks to the sweet tune of Sweet Georgia Brown. And I was able to do that, but it took practice, you know, just paying attention to detail, you know, how this is the way you do it. This is the way you turn your body. You got to do it this way. And just, you know, repetition, just every day, every day, every day.
Right, right. That is, I'm sure that's one of the lessons that you teach. Well, let's talk about your foundation and your program. You founded this with your wife, and you guys mm-hmm. both grew up in Jersey City, you said, and that kind of the reason you are the people that you are today, and the reason that you're doing what you're doing, has a lot to do with the growing pains that you both experienced while growing up. So tell me a little bit about that.
Growing up, you know, we grew up in the inner city of Jersey City, New Jersey. It's really, really, really a rough crime area. There's certain parts of Jersey City that's beautiful, the downtown area near the waterfront, that's near, you know, close to Manhattan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but come from a single parent home, and we just tried to really just try to, you know, dream. But how can you dream when you live in a nightmare? You know, there's this carjacking,
right, right.
And different things. In fact, they did a movie called New Jersey Drive, which really tells it all, really, about the carjacking history in New Jersey and different things that take place. Among that, obviously, there's gangs and stuff like that. And I knew that jail wasn't a place for me. It wasn't an option. You know, I didn't want the graveyard to be an early place for me. That wasn't an option. And so I picked up the basketball, and I just kept away at it, stayed involved in owning my craft and trying to get better. My wife was always a part of different things. She was the captain of the cheerleader team. She was always on the front run of school issues, you know, trying to help grow the student body and things like that. And so we've always seen it. And then we just said that if we were able to, we've seen both sides of it. So we said we were able to make it, that we'd start something, and try to grow it and let it be great.
Great. And that's what you did. So this started out as a campaign. In 2008, you had the Dare to Dream campaign, which was to help teach kids how to broaden their horizons. And that campaign turned into what is now a 501c3 charitable organization,
right,
called the Dare to Dream Foundation. And so,
correct,
what are the main goals of the Dare to Dream Foundation?
As you said earlier, the official name of it is Harold Lefty Williams Dare to Dream Foundation Incorporated. That's the official name. One of the main goals is just to, as you said earlier, just to improve the quality of life, you know, for youth and young adults, you know, to strengthen their communities both domestically and globally. I do a lot of stuff in Canada as well, you know, but the main base obviously is in Florida, and then we do some things in North Carolina as well as in California as well. But we just really want our next generation to say, you know, I can dare to dream. You know, it's we do it through sports, but we also do it through educational reinforcement as well. So we have a 6-point thrust system that we rely on in order to give the youth the educational side of things, the educational piece. So obviously,
right,
obviously there's the mind, you know, there's the body, there's the determination, there's the accountability, there's a citizenship piece that we use, education, you know, mentality. So these are all pieces that we incorporate through sports. So basketball is actually the illusion, I would say. Everybody comes, hey, that's Lefty, you know, I remember him, he was a Globetrotter, he's at Harlem Dream Showman. So they come for that, and obviously, you know, they're entertained, they're excited, but then they learn, you know, basketball the way it's supposed to be played. To see, you know, there's the ooh and the ah from the entertainment piece, but I didn't start there. I started with the basics, you know, the basic bounce pass, the, you know, jump stop, hold your follow through on your shot, you know, pass, teamwork, you know, those type of things. But then they leave with the educational piece, being a better person. You know what I mean? As I said, through our dynamic six-point thrust system, we say basketball is life. You know, in other words, what you learn in basketball can be translated into what you do in life.
Most definitely. And you, I love the way you put it, that you're showing children both what they can gain from the world and what they have to give to the world. So it's kind of a really well-rounded perspective. And so you draw them in with your talent, and you wow them with a show. And then how do you then parlay that into talking about these issues? Is it through motivational speaking, through clinics? I know you've got several different programs within your foundation. Tell me about that transition.
So what we do is, like, obviously at a basketball camp you have your stations, which each station is where you work on a certain tool of basketball. It might be a passing station, a defensive station, might be a shooting station, a dribbling station, things like that. It might be a breakdown of a rebounding station, you know, how to box out and just techniques and different things like that. But then there's a time during camp where we have our motivational station. So what happens is everyone comes in, and each day at camp we may work on one or two parts of the thrust system, which we feel is definitely important. So one day we may work on determination and accountability. You know, in basketball you have to be determined if you're going to be successful, you know, especially on a basketball court. You know, you got to be coachable. You got to be, you know, you got to be determined, but you also have to be willing to be held accountable. Are you working as hard as you can? Are you being that great teammate? You know, are you doing exactly the things that the coach asked you to do when he called that last time out, you know, a few seconds left to go, you know, you're down one, you want to win. We got to be held accountable. And then your body, taking care of your body. Are you putting the right things in your body to make sure that you can perform at the highest level? You know, and then another day we may work on, you know, citizenship and mentality. Just we break it down through stations. Just to touch back on earlier, you mentioned about how the it was a campaign in 2008. In 2008, the campaign was sponsored by Under Armour. And we did school tours. We would go around to different schools talking to kids about the six-point thrust system, daring them to dream. That since has grown from that to actually into our programs where we have, our ambassador programs, where that's broken into two different type of campaigns. There's our Keeping Promises campaign, which is geared towards elementary and middle school kids, you know, getting them to, you know, keep their promises within the dream with their grades and things like that. And then for our high school kids, we have our Dream Keepers, trying to get them to keep the dream. That came about because I'd come to a school, and there'd be certain kids who'd say, man, a teacher would come up to me and say, man, you know, Johnny didn't get a chance to see you today. We held him back. He's in in-school suspension. Wow, what happened? They'd let me know what's going on. I'd go to the stop by the in-school suspension and say, you mind if I just chat with him quickly? Talk to him. Hey, Johnny, sorry I missed you. Maybe next time around you'll get a chance to actually see. But what I would like to do to you is I like to challenge you. I like to dare you to do something. Well, what is that? I like to dare you to, you know, get better grades over the next, you know, quarter throughout the next report card. And if you pulled up those grades, you know, and I'm able to see this, you know, then I'll do this. You know, it might be product, it might be an invitation to the next camp or something like that. And then I end up, you know, keeping my promise, showing back up to the school and things of that nature. So it's really rewarding, not just to do it, but to actually see that kids are learning from it and that they're growing from it. And you see that they're actually getting better and you're actually making an impact.
Definitely, definitely, and you're leading by example by the example that you just gave, showing someone how to keep your promises. Now you've got one of your camps that's coming up in April, and I know that you've got sponsorships for children who might not be able to afford to come to the camp, and you also have the availability for people to sponsor children. So let's tell any kids out there who are listening who might want to go, and any donors out there who might be listening who might want to help sponsor a child, what that program is like?
So what we do in our program is very unique. I take the kids for camp at the age of 5 all the way to the age of 18, and obviously they're broken up into their age group, their age bracket. But if there's a kid who wants to come to the camp, and let's say they just times are rough, they can't afford it, there's a grant application process, which you can find on the website leftysfoundation.com, leftysfoundation.com. And you just click on programs, and then you'll be able to see the grant application guidelines, for consideration, because we offer grant opportunities for kids as well to be able to come. So that mm-hmm. takes care of the food, uniform, just the whole, just everything that they need, you know, basketball, just everything that we do at camp. And there's also a process for people who say, well, I know someone who actually, you know, could use this, you know. Then there's a financial verification endorser process that we do just to make sure that the kids are, you know, who really, really need to go, that we're helping the kids who really, you know, need the help. For people sure. who want to actually help and support, there's a donate section on there. Every little bit counts. You know, we don't ask for a minimum amount or a maximum amount. Everything helped. And obviously, as you said earlier, we're 501c3, you know, recognizable organization, obviously those things can be deductible from, you know, from your taxes, things like that, written off. We have a great partnership with the Dave Thomas Foundation. I'm their celebrity ambassador, and we're just doing great things at Dare to Dream, things that we truly, truly, truly believe in, my wife and I.
Yes, you really are, and I love that you dive in and you tackle some serious issues. You talk about substance abuse. You talk about domestic abuse. You talk about with the older kids. You talk about, you know, potential sexual pitfalls that they can fall into.
Correct.
In their teen years. And so how do they respond when you're really talking about the heavy topics of life with them?
It varies. You know, one of the things that I do see great fruit from is we begin to do something called yes to no. Yes, the number 2, the word no, K-N-O-W, with no is an abbreviation for knowledge. And it's we do a teen summit. We go to the high school. We take over the high school for a day. We have our keynote message where we address the entire student body. But then after the keynote, my wife and I speak, we break it into sections in terms of, you know, just breakout sessions, little groups, you know, and that's mm-hmm. where you really get to hit it home, you know, and that's where you actually see the reward, because after, you know, through that, you're doing Q&A stuff, you're doing different things that you design, maybe some role play stuff, maybe some monologue stuff, different skits and things like that, interaction with the kids to actually draw it out of them. So you can actually see and hear how it's affecting them in real time, you know, certain things that
right.
you probably wouldn't even think to hear of, the pressures of today from youth just to be sexually active is just beyond me right now. And so one of the things that we try to push is just talking about abstinence. You know, yeah, we want mm-hmm. them, if they're going to have sex, to have safe sex, but we try to drive home abstinence. You know, and that's one of the things that we talk about keeping that promise, about waiting. What are we in a rush for? About just one of those things. I remember we were in a place called Trail, which is in British Columbia and in Canada, and one of the things that got me was that teen drinking was really at an all-time high. And what happened when we got there to do the summit was a kid was drinking and driving, and not only did the driver kill himself, everyone in his car survived, but the person that they hit, everyone in the other car had died. And so it was really,
oh,
really,
wow.
really, yeah, it was really, really tough around the time when we got there. And the message I thought was just dead on. It was head on. And a lot of kids started following me on Twitter and stuff and interacting with me on Instagram and stuff. And, you know, and thank you, all those type of things. But it's right now, it's that serious. It's that serious to mm-hmm. invest in the next generation. You know, we live in a time where when I was coming up, you were outside playing,
You know, it was, if you weren't outside playing, you were doing board games and different things. You know, now no one knows how to hold a conversation. Everyone's on their smartphone. They're playing video games. You know, they're engaged into the television, just their eyes on TV. No one's actually interacting with each other, talking anymore, talking about issues that matter. And these are one of the things that we're hoping that we can do is change this next generation around, just to get them to dream, you know, just to get them to begin to dream and begin to talk and you know, what matters to you, what works for you, what's not working for you, and how can we help assist you, you know, both.
Yeah.
Further pursue.
And there are so many pressures. I mean, there's so much peer pressure and there's so much bullying that's happening. And I think when you're not in that generation and when you're not going through the school pressures that they're experiencing, I mean, when you're older, you can't imagine what it's like to be immersed in the life that these kids are living. And so you are helping to essentially raise the leaders of tomorrow, because these kids are going to all grow up and be the people that run the country and run the world. And so you also have an aspect where you talk to them about mentoring others and giving back to their community. So how do they respond when you start to put that kind of responsibility into their mind?
It's been a great response. I mean, just to watch them pay it forward and say, hey, well, I've been helping out, you know, at my old high school where I graduated from. When I come home, you know, I'm looking to plug in and do this, so I'm helping out at a Boys and Girls Club. Or, you know, you hear stories all the time. I remember this one story that come to mind. I was so hard on this kid. I've seen so much in him, man. I could say his name. We still contact Kobe Felsman, Jr. And he just, I don't know. He said, Lefty, do you not like me? And I said, I'm hard on you because I do like you. That's why I'm hard on you. You know what I mean? And he said, you just always busting my chops. I said, when I see you doing those type of things, man, you know, things that you're not supposed to be doing or trying to cut class or things like that, that's just not cool. It's not helping you. Well, tell me your 4-year plan. You know, tell me your 3-year plan. Tell me. He couldn't tell me. He couldn't. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna make it easy for you. What's your 6-month plan? You know, and he just, and then he just, you know what? I want you to meet with me. I want you to meet with me once a week. Can you do that for me? Can you commit to that? Once a week, went to two, you know, twice a week, and we just kept building. And this kid's now in school. He's now in college. And so I'm really, 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 really proud of what he's become. Graduated from high school, which was a goal. But furthermore, you know, no one in his family had ever attended college. You know, so he's breaking, yeah, he's breaking barriers, you know, so that feedback is, you know, to me is very, very, very much real and very much so rewarding.
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, the title Dare to Dream, because a lot of people don't have a plan. They're just, especially in underserved communities, they're just trying to get through the day. They're trying to get through the week. And so they don't really necessarily see a future or a path to a future. And so the fact that you are providing them with the ability to vision, you know, you're offering visions and then you're saying, make your own vision. And that, you know, I mean, just to know that you can do something, just to have somebody believe in you. I mean, you were hard on this kid because you saw strength in him and you knew that he could do something. And so you take this everywhere, all over North America, right? I mean, if any school wants to have you and your wife to come and do a program there, you will take this anywhere, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll take it anywhere. Anyone who like us to have, you know, to bring Dare to Dream within their school system, you know, you can contact us. You can go to leftiesfoundation.com and you can contact us, and we call you immediately. We'd be in touch immediately.
Yeah, that is, and you even have a mobile app. So what does the mobile app do? I saw that on your website, and I didn't download it, but I thought, how cool is that? So what is on the app?
So we call it Lefty on the Go. When I was playing, some people wanted to still be able to keep in touch with me, and then when I started to build this thing in terms of accountability, one of our thrust points, I said, you know what, I'm going to be able to talk to that kid early in the morning every day. So there's tons of things that you can see on the app. I I had did a inspiration album musically. I sang a few years ago, so that's on there. That's on the app. There's I do my D what we call D2D tips, Dare to Dream tips. That goes out as a push notification every morning, just by way of encouragement to get your day started. There are inspirational quotes. Some of them are from me. Some of them are from pretty much what you know, what inspires me. And then obviously there's a photo thing if you want to take a picture and something that let's say something inspired you for the day and you want to take a picture, you can upload that and everyone who's down who has the download can see what inspires everyone as and use it as motivation for themselves as well. So it's pretty great. One of the things that I like is that you can also do like a voice message to me. You can hold down, there's a button you hold down and you can say something, let's say you said, thanks, you know, Lefty, my day was really awesome. Hope you're having a great day. And then you let it go. That voice message gets sent to us and let us know how you're doing. So it's a lot of cool
stuff. And that's so personal. You can tweet with people, but to actually hear their voice and maintain those personal relationships with the personal contact, it just really takes it to a deeper level. So with the app, it sounds like you're really creating a support system, a community for pretty much everyone, whether they want to interact with one another or just with you. How do you find the time to talk to all of these kids and to maintain these relationships?
Well, what I try to do is I try to preload like my messages that I want to send for the week. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. So let's say like today on a Sunday, I try to preload what I want to say. That way I know that it's being consistent, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And with teens, right, and young people, consistency is everything. So then day to day, you know, I may say, oh, wow, this is what I'm thinking today, on top of what I've already know that I've preloaded, because I know that they're going to hear from me every day. So that's already out the way, like I said, through the preload. But throughout my day, I may have something that I want to say, and I'll say, now I'll say it, and I can hit send, and they'll go right away to them as well.
You're a shining example of turning star power into something good. I mean, so many people, they work hard and they attain celebrity and they enjoy it and then they stop there. They say, I've made it, yay. And, you know, maybe they'll help some people in their family out, but that's the extent of it. And you have taken your notoriety that started with earning your nickname, Lefty, and you've really turned this into something that has the potential to help just an entire generation of people by teaching them the tenets of basketball and how they relate to life and being a mentor to kids who might not have that. And I commend you so much for that.
Oh, thank you. One of the messages I sent out before was, I said, I am the only problem I will ever have, and I'm the only solution. In other words, we oftentimes blame other people for where we are, and we don't look in the mirror and say, no, I'm a part of this problem, and I need to be a part of the solution, because I can give you as much advice, you know, as you'd like. I love that. I love to talk. I love meeting new people. But unless you decide that you actually need to take part in changing this situation, it won't happen.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I am so glad that I met you, and I'm so glad that you have been a guest on this show. I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy listening to this. And so tell everybody again your website, how they can get in touch with you.
So you can go to Lefty's Foundation, Lefty's Foundation.com, and you can reach out to us, or, you know, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. All of it is the same, which is Lefty Williams, the number 4, the number 2, which is my jersey number, Lefty Williams 42, and the website is leftiesfoundation.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Excellent, excellent. Kids, donors, parents, anybody who wants to get involved. Well, thank you so, so much. This is This is a new show that I've started on the network, and you are my first guest on this new show on Our Lives with Shannon Fisher. So I don't think I could have picked a better guest to have to launch my second show on the network. So thank you again, Lefty Williams, and God bless you, and I wish you the best.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. God bless you as well.
For Our Lives with Shannon Fisher, this is Shannon signing off. See you next time.